I can't tell if this is working. Maybe it is. Hopefully it is.
Are these going to be milas over?
Milas over it, but not milas. Milas that make it. They're going to be milas. Milas qualities that Ha'ara Toronis has that Ha'ara Sichlis does not have. But that doesn't change the Metzius that if you look at these milas and you look at that milas, so you see that these are milas which result in the essentiality and the necessity for Ha'ara Toronis, but and the qualities of Ha'ara Sichlis teach you and tell you that that's the goal. That's what you want to reach. And that's your ultimate goal in life. Say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to have Ha'ara Sichlis. I want to have a certain relationship with Hashem. So you say, okay, so let's cut out the middleman. I'll go straight to the goal. So he says, it's not going to work, and it's essential to go through Ha'ara Toronis. And because of the qualities of Ha'ara Toronis, which Ha'ara Sichlis doesn't have, right? It's like saying, before you ride a bike, you got to ride a tricycle. Right? So you say the quality of a tricycle is that you have more stability because of the third wheel. Okay, that's taka mila over a bicycle. But it also tells you that it's only a stepping stone. But you don't want to end up there. Because the quality of a two-wheeler, which says that you can go faster and over all sorts of terrain, obviously that makes that the goal. But it's still essential to start off with a tricycle which has more stability and it goes slower and you learn how to ride and you get used to riding. That's the kind of things he'll be saying. Ha'echad, number one. Number one is really an elaboration over a point he made in Perek Beis. Perek Beis really talked about, in very general terms, why have Ha'ara Toronis at all? And he already gave us the answer that in the fight between Seichel and Taiva, we'll call it, Seichel and a person's desires, so the desires are going to win if you just throw them both into the ring. And he said three reasons why the desires will win. So now he's going to elaborate on that. He says something very, very, very fascinating here. I mean, the whole sefer is fascinating, but every piece is fascinating too. He says a person is made up of a nefesh and a guf. Okay, we're all familiar with that. V'yesh b'midosov. Now a person is always in a struggle. We learned this in Perek Beis also. The struggle between the nefesh / seichel / ruchnius, stick a side of a person, and his guf, his chomer, his taivus, the animalistic side of him. V'yesh b'midosov mido hamavia also this pakros b'tanugos. He wants to enjoy himself. He doesn't want to have any limits. Self-gratification. He wants what tastes good, what feels good. What's kishmak? He wants that. B'lishkia, and to be sunk in. B'sugei ha'tayvus ha'bamios. U'prikas resen ha'seichel mi'olav. You know, prikas all. He doesn't want to be bothered by what his seichel tells him is maybe even unhealthy. It's not even healthy for his guf. But the guf wants what it wants. And it doesn't want to be told what to do, and it just wants to enjoy itself. So that's one aspect of a person. Either the person has another aspect, v'yeshbo gamida hakoris also l'prishus ba'olam, to the seichel looks at this world and sees it's transient, sees it's a waste of time, sees that all hanos are fleeting, and it wants to withdraw from the world. The seichel wants to commit suicide, really. Get out of this world and go back to the Olam HaNefashos. And then, you know, well, what's there's nothing, there's no real pleasure in this world. Look how much tsar there is, look how much Agmas Nefesh there is. And I don't want to be part of this game. Vaznochas Yeshuvo, and it doesn't even want to take part, he doesn't want to go to work. He doesn't want to even, it doesn't want to, you know, take part in Yeshuv HaOlam. He doesn't want to be part of this world. So it's just, you know, he's sick of it. Everything is temporary. One day you're up, one day you're down, one day you're healthy, one day you're sick, one day you're on top of the world, the next day you're on the bottom. I don't want any part of this. Utadiris hapagon badaigus ale adomos, all sorts of sufferings that occur in the world. Umafna also el olam hasechel hanala. It wants to go to the Himalayan mountains and go to some monastery and mediate a whole day. Meditate a whole day, mediate between the people fighting here also, meditate a whole day, and he just wants to, he wants to withdraw from the world. So there's the part of a person that wants to gishmak, have gishmak, and be gishmak, and fully get sunk into the taivas olam. And then there's the part of a, the struggle of person. And then the other part of it is another extreme. He says both are wrong. That's what he says. This is the chayvus halvavus. And really, the sefer throughout takes this approach. They're both wrong. Ushtei hashkafos, both of these hashkafos, einan ritzuyas, are against the will of Hashem. Ki yachas moshev ches el hefsei sederus olam azeh. That's the second one, grada. The second one ruins the world. Hashem created the world. Hashem wants us to engage the world. He wants us to go to work, to build up, yishav olam, tikkun olam, whatever words you want to use. He wants us to be part of the world and to live normal lives and to be married and to have children and to go to work. He wants us to be part of the world. So that extreme is not the Ratzon Hashem. The other extreme, he says, so here he says, this extreme ruins Olam Hazeh. The other extreme, it doesn't just ruin your Olam Haba, because you're full of Averis, but it ruins your Olam Hazeh too. Because you don't really enjoy yourself. Ask anybody, right? You get into drugs, you get into girls, drugs, all these things. They end up, right, they don't enjoy themselves. They enjoy themselves, right? Then they realize a week later, a month later, a year later, or 5 years later, that they don't, and then they have an ulcer, or they're sick, or they don't really enjoy life. You talk to people who are steeped in anos, olam hazeh, so after a while, you just keep needing bigger and bigger thrills, and they don't have an olam hazeh either. That's his point. Vashniya, that's the first one, he's calling here the second, the first hashkafa, Mosheches al hefsed matzav ha'odom b'olam hazeh, uli olam haba. It ruins your olam haba because you don't know any gvulim, so you eat what you want, and you do what you want, and you do all sorts of things. So your olam haba is out of the picture, because you don't even have an olam hazeh either. You're not healthy, you don't really enjoy what you're doing. You know, you do fleetingly, we all know the story, then, you know, then you just need a bigger and bigger thrill, then you turn around the next morning and nothing, you just have a hangover and a headache, and you feel dirty and cheap and pointless, and it's just not worth anything. So what did Hashem do? Hashem's very, very smart, says the Chovos HaLevavos. Hashem gave us a Torah, and it's the Torah that brings together the perfect balance between these two extremes. And that's point one of Ha'ara Toronis. It solves this dilemma, it solves these two forces that are pulling a person in two directions, both of which are against the Ratzon Hashem, and it shows us the middle path. This is how you have to live. You have to go to work, but you're not allowed to steal, and you have to rest on Shabbos, and you have to give tzedakah, and you eat, but you're not allowed to eat such foods, and you're not allowed to eat such foods, you're not allowed to eat possible cholov, and you get married, but this is who you're not allowed to marry, and this is what you're not allowed to do. So the Torah figures out a way. The rules of the Torah are to construct a balance between these two extremes. That's what he says. That because he wants to do good for people. Chanan also, it fixes him up. It gives him olam hazeh, and it gives him olam haba. The kav hamamutza, the golden mean, call it, the middle path, bein haseichel v'hataiva. It allows you to have pleasure. It allows you to live in this world and have pleasure, and it magbil the pleasure with the seichel. So that's the perfect balance. The Torah so emes hashomeres al hatzedek hagoli v'hanista. What he's saying is that a person would just have aura sichlis, so you know he might win, he might lose, but he wouldn't necessarily. He wouldn't end up. You wouldn't have this quality what the Torah gives you. Torah says, you know, eat, drink, but this is how, and this is when, and this is how much, and this is, you know, appropriate, it's not appropriate. Hanosenes la'adam libtavosa b'olam hazeh, gives him this taivus and olam hazeh. It lets him taste it satisfies the need for Olam Hazeh, Shomeris lo es gemul ha'tov l'olam haba, and it's magbil what he does in order to ensure that he maintains olam haba. Kamo shomer ha'kasuv, and the rest of the paragraph quotes a very long, a bunch of psukim in Mishlei. Obviously, this is how the Chaim Halbavos understood these psukim. Now, you don't see it really when you look at the psukim, but the Chaim Halbavos understood that these psukim are expressing the idea that he just said, that Toras Hashem is the golden balance between Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, call it Seichel and Taivis, that's what he calls it. It strikes that balance in a person. Hat Oznacha Ushma Dibre Chachamim. The Libcha Toshis Ladaiti. What?
What exactly is it that stops you wanting to have more of Olam Hazeh? For the Torah, so you can only have this much.
We're talking about someone that's going to be obedient to the Torah. The Torah tells you how to live. He's not talking.
But you still want to have more.
He's not talking about if you want to follow the Torah. We're talking about someone. The Torah sets up a system of self where a person partakes but has to exercise self-control. He's not talking about now how to exercise the self-control. He's talking about why is there a Torah? Why can't everyone just be like Avraham Avinu and sit in the cave and look at the sun and say there must be a creator of the universe? And
this is somebody who's like, this is a tiger for food.
What?
There's a tiger for food. He just has to keep eating lots of different foods, right? And he's never satisfied. Yeah. As the Rav said, he's never satisfied because he always wants more. He never gets enough. And the Torah says you can only have so much food.
Yeah.
Does that stop the
title? He's not addressing that point. He's not addressing that point here. He's saying, why is there a Torah? Why did Hashem give the mitzvahs basa b'chalof? Why can't everyone just be like Avraham Avinu and understand with their seichel that whatever the hara sichlis of basa b'chalof is, and then it doesn't matter. Hashem doesn't have to give us do's and don'ts. Everybody will just find self-expression. Like, hippie. Why can't everyone just be a hippie?
Read the talkbacks on J-Post all the time. It's all people talk about when they smash the screen.
Why can't everyone just be a hippie? That's what he's saying. So he's saying because these two four. So this is reason number one. Why is there a Torah? Why? What was the Torah doing when it gave us 613 rules? What was it doing? Why couldn't it let just people shoot for the ideal? So reason number one is that what the Torah was doing was creating the perfect balance between taiva and seicha. Now you want to know how do you corral the taiva in the system? That's a question, and that he just talking about like what was the Torah doing? Saying the Torah's purpose is what the Torah is doing is constructing a society, a world in which people are enjoying life but not going overboard. That's the purpose of saying you can't eat this, you can't wear shatnez, you can't marry your mother, you can't, I don't know, you know, whatever, right, whatever it is. You can't talk Lashon Hara, you gotta go to work, but you can't steal, you can't cheat, you can't charge ribbis, you have to rest on Shabbos. It's creating a utopian society in terms of the person satisfying urges, yet being magbil the urges so that he doesn't go overboard. I hope I answered your question. That's okay, stop here.